remember you. It's AM 1560 WGLB 96.1 FM. Marvin Sapp with Yes You Can. Inside this Friday morning, the first Friday of 2019. What a way to kick it off with our partner.
Man, Neighborhood News. Do we have sunshine and like 45 degree weather.
We have beautiful sunshine sitting right in front of us.
But we also have Neighborhood News.
That's
with
right.
The sunshine.
She just topped it off for sure. Miss Allison, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you guys so much for having me this morning.
You're absolutely welcome.
I'm
welcome.
So excited to be here.
Yes.
Well, Miss Allison, for those who are not aware at this point, you are from Neighborhood Service, and Neighborhood Service and the Morning Mix has a partnership that we formed over the last couple of weeks where we're going to be regularly bringing you in, bringing Neighborhood News in to update us on all of the good things that are going on in the community. And that's why you're here today, to tell us about some of those things. So let's get right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're part of the new partnership, Neighborhood News Service, partnering with WGLB. We're super excited about it. Mm-hmm. We'll be on every couple weeks to share, twice a month, I think, to share about some of our latest stories, kind of tell listeners about our site and what's going on
Wonderful.
In Milwaukee. But yeah, the story I'm here to talk to you about today is about a special team that MPS has called the Crisis Response Team, mm-hmm. Which is a team of social workers, psychologists, and counselors who respond at a school when a teacher or a student dies. So when something tragic happens, so the story that I talk about is when the young girl Sandra Parks, when she was killed in her home in November, she was an eighth grader at a school called Keefe Avenue School. And after that happened, I just was thinking what happened to the rest of her classmates? What was that like for her teacher and for those at the school to have to kind of tell her friends the next day what happened, and how did they cope with that? How did they respond? Does the school do anything to help? And I learned that they do, that MPS has had this team. It's been around for...
Yeah, I was going to ask, so how long have this program been around?
Yeah, it's been around for like 20, 25 years.
Okay.
It's been at least 20 years. The people in the district who have been there that long said it was there before they got there. And so what it is it's counselors and psychologists and social workers that work at different MPS schools. They sign up, they volunteer to be a part of this team. They receive a special training for how to support students when something like this happens. And then when there is a crisis, the school administrator, the principal calls up this team and says, hey, can you come over today? We had something happen. Can you come to school? They show up at school. What they do is they're the ones that kind of make this message. They deliver the news, or they help deliver the news to the students. So they give them the facts. They tell them what happened. They try to be as sensitive as possible. And then they offer counseling services for the students. At Keefe, it was in the library. So they kind of transformed the whole library into this counseling center. And if students felt like they needed to step out of class, they...
So did they gather all of the students, or was it just a selected amount of students throughout each classroom? How did that work?
Yeah, so they tell all of the students. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of part of their job, is so there's not rumors spreading. There's not any miscommunication. Mm, there's not people getting worked up with when they don't know the truth. So they tell each class in their classrooms at the same time in the morning. So they have this special message. The teachers read it at the same exact time in every classroom. So all the students find out. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, it's the students that choose to want to go out of class, to choose to want to be kind of receive some extra support, that they can then do so. And the teachers can refer people, but if students are upset but they want to just go on with their day and they want to keep going with their normal routines at school, that's cool. They can do that. So yeah, it's just those who want it.
Yeah, it's interesting because when that young lady was killed, what was that, back in November?
Yeah, it was in November.
Yeah, it was it was unfortunate, but, you know, of course, something like that shocks your entire community. And Keith, you know, I live right in the area where Keith, so a lot of the young people that I work with, they attend that school.
Yeah.
They attend Keefe Avenue. And I remember one of the young men that I work with every day, he's at my house every day, and he came in the house and he said, Dennis, he said, my best friend just got shot and killed. And I'm like, your best friend? He like, yeah, the girl who got shot in the head, that was my best friend.
Wow.
And he was just like totally devastated.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you really find out how tight-knit and close your community is when you have crises like this.
Right.
And unfortunately, with the conditions of the neighborhood, you have a high level of violence that children are experiencing. And a lot of times we don't take into consideration the grief and the trauma and the stress that children suffer from the loss of a classmate or a parent or someone who they've seen in their environment consistently who's lost a life. So I just thought this was really interesting that NPS has this crisis response team to address these issues, because we're as good, it's unfortunate that we have such a high level of violence. It's good that they are preparing themselves to help the children, because that has to be a pretty rough situation.
Yeah, and exactly like you said, the more I was learning, talking to people, the reason that they had this team is because they recognize that students do experience these kinds of events in their lives, and that affects their ability to learn and to feel safe at school. And that was kind of a big thing that a lot of people told me, is that school should be a safe place. It should be a predictable place. It mm-hmm. should be somewhere where you feel like you don't have to worry about this news that you heard about, that you still feel safe at school and you feel like you have people who will support you and that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, yeah. And then, like you said, that sometimes in certain areas there are incidents of violence, and that can kind of set off a different response. When a student hears about something like this, they maybe think about something that happened in their past, and the team is also trained to respond to that, to help kind of bring students down from that fear and mm-hmm. help them kind of work through that fear so that they can then grieve mm-hmm. and process the loss of their friend.
So do the crisis response team, do they respond to every school, or is it like a 2x2 thing? Do they go, you know, do certain group of people go to certain schools or certain districts? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's just within MPS. I mean, others, from what I learned, mm-hmm. other school districts around the country have something similar. This is a kind of seen as a best practice for mm-hmm. how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's about 50 people who are part of this team. And then when something happens, they don't respond to every death in the district.
Okay.
They respond when something happens and the administration reaches out.
Mm-hmm.
So they could respond to every death, but if something happens and the school feels like they have it under control, they don't necessarily need outside people coming in,
okay.
then they handle that on their own. But if a school wants extra support, they call the team, and then about 8 to 10 people from that group of 50
mm-hmm.
will okay. show up and kind of form that team for the day.
Mm.
Well, you know, as I'm looking at the story here on Neighborhood News Service, this just has some very interesting facts right here. It says that more than 60% of kids in urban areas nationwide have experienced at least one traumatic event by the age of 16. And that's according to the National Childhood Traumatic Stress Network. And then it says in 2017, there were 45 children under the age of 18 who were shot and 5 killed as a result of gun-related homicides in Milwaukee. And in 2018, there have been 50 children shot and 4 killed, and that's coming from the city of Milwaukee Office of Violence Prevention. And I think we really take for granted, you know, how much our children are exposed to violence and trauma, and even, you know, situations where our young people are getting killed. And when you see the numbers here like this, it's almost overwhelming when you think about it. So the fact that NPS has a crisis response team, and again, this team is made up of, you said, different practitioners, psychologists and social workers and
counselors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. I mean, I think violence is just a reality in our mm-hmm. community. It's something that,
yeah.
And that, in addition to this crisis team, some things I learned about are kind of other ways that the district is working to kind of support the mental health and the well-being
mm-hmm.
of their students, so that they have psychologists and counselors and social workers in the school at all times, and that they have Keefe is part of this partnership where they have outside mental health providers providing counseling and therapy mm-hmm. sessions for students if they need it. So mm-hmm. even after the crisis team left after that one day, there are still
coming
supports
back
available at school. And everyone I talked to said that there is kind of this bigger need even mm-hmm. than the district is able to support, that so many of their students would benefit from some kind of mental health support or counseling mm-hmm. support, and that they aren't equipped right now to handle all of the need, but that they're doing as much as they can, and they're doing what's kind of viewed as best practices to try to
right.
to work to provide that support to students, make sure people.
Well, I know that there was I had met with Dr. Posley, and one of the things that he had mentioned is that they have a specific 53206 plan. And that school is within 53206
right.
that would be doing more of this. to address the stress and the trauma and the crisis that children go through. So it's just good to see that they're on top of it.
Yeah. And I think like something else that people were telling me is that a lot of the skills that they're trying to build in students, not only helping them grieve and process and cope with something like this, but then also to build resilient skills to help them learn how to process their emotions, help them learn how to build positive relationships so that if things happen in the future, they feel more equipped to handle it and be able to kind of take care of themselves, take care of those around them.
Definitely. Briefly talk about the strategy that you use with the teachers. Mm. Do you use a different method with the teachers versus the students in terms of the coping and the grief support and different things? Like, do you counsel them as well?
She doesn't do it.
I mean, you know.
I hear you. No, that's actually a great question because that was one of the most surprising things.
I'm sorry.
I think teachers have one of the hardest jobs in the world. Mm-hmm. And that even came to light even more in this story, reporting this story, because what happens when the crisis team comes is the teachers find out the news, and then moments later they have to tell their students. And then while the students can go during the day and go receive counseling, the teachers have to go on with their day and keep their classes going. And the district does provide supports to teachers. They meet with them after school and they can refer them to kind of outside resources for counseling. But at least in that day, the teacher kind of has to
They have to keep their composure too.
They have to keep it together. Yeah. They have to tell their kids and then they have to go on and try to keep teaching their day going on as normal while their students are processing and
Dennis, I'm talking to one of the crisis team member.
No, this is the person who reports.
Okay, you definitely don't want me talking you through a crisis.
So I'm like, hello.
Thank you for helping me. I work well under pressure, but you do not want me talking you through a crisis.
No.
Okay.
I'll be panicking right there.
Yes, definitely.
But just the fact that, again, I think this is a great story that you guys are reporting on, raising the awareness around what's happening within the schools. Because again, I do think we take for granted how much the children are under stress and how much they're traumatized and affected by violent circumstances in our community. So the more that we know that's going on within the schools and how we can organize around this, the better we can support our children. So I think this is a great story.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
To keep us informed.
All right, so to see the story in its entirety, you can log on to MilwaukeeNNS.org. Is that correct?
Yes, MilwaukeeNNS.org.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much
for having me, guys.
When are you coming back?
I believe in 2 weeks. So we're coming twice a month.
Okay, gotcha. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Reporting live. I'm not good at that. That's why I'm behind the mic. I can't do TV, y'all. Right here on WGOV AM 1560 and 96.1 FM. Be right back right after this. Thank you again, okay?
Yeah, thanks so much.
Right. You're listening to the WGLB Morning Mix with Sister Soraya and Brother Dennis Walden on WGLB AM 1560 and 96.1 FM.